This is the Aflac Insurance Syracuse Legend Show with Mike Bristol.
All right, let's get right to it. And our good friend Brandon Steiner. Brandon, what's up, pal?
Big week in the Big Apple for Syracuse, as you know.
I know.
Obviously a big game today, but, you know, very exciting game. The women played on Wednesday night here in Westchester. They really, really are talented, and that's a team that I'm really enjoying and looking forward to following. That could be a Final Four team, and not only that, but they got really good young players that could be a 2-3-4-5-year run for Quinn Helsman. Love the team.
Where do you want to go first? Let's first of all talk about you know men's basketball and
yep.
And in the Garden. You were there, obviously, and kind of give me your thoughts.
Well, good learning loss. You know, it's obviously, you know, the point guard's so critical in college basketball, and obviously we were missing our starting point guard, and I think it took a lot of toll on getting some of our players the ball kind of where they used to get it. You know, it's tough when, you know, like a battle is not that he shouldn't be able to do it, but, you know, you don't want him to have to worry and focus on getting the ball up. And they were doing a lot of ball pressure, particularly UConn. I think it's a great learning loss. You know, you have a great coach. He always figures it out. I don't worry about this as much as it would seem, you know, and I think he got a lot of young players to go play in a big environment like the Garden. There was a little nervousness, I thought, but that this game helps them in the big picture. It's a win in the big picture, you know, because you get a buddy playing time in a place like the Garden. You got some of the kids. My only thing is one thing, Mike, and you know, I'm never all that critical because unless you're in the huddle, you know what's going on. It's hard to really honestly critique, but our big man's got to play. You know, Pascal's got to play better. He's got to play big. He is big, but he's got to play big. He's got to play with a little chip on his shoulder. And both big men in the Garden just completely demolished us, I felt like. The UConn guy was very surprising, number zero. I forget his name, but he really played well. Bull put on a show. He was a freshman. And, you know, I like that he got bigger, stronger, but you got to play bigger and stronger. And you got to play with a little chip on your shoulder. And I felt like there's a couple of situations where, you know, loose balls, not going to have his hand, throwing the ball away. But, you know, good learning loss for us. I like our team, you know, really talented. I think it'll come together and we'll see a lot better. The UConn team surprised me. They're a little better than I thought. I was excited to see Bowl. I mean, I remember day because he put on a show.
Yep, I agree.
I mean, in, out, and it was the passing, and it was him getting up and down the court. I haven't seen a big man sprint up and down the court like that. And really didn't seem like he was breaking too much of a sweat.
When you look at, I guess, Syracuse in the Garden, it's like, it's their home court.
Yeah.
But then you also have Connecticut. That you remember the 6 overtime game, which was one of the greatest.
Oh, yeah, I was right there, behind the bench.
You and I.
One of my favorite moments of all time, maybe as far as games.
So there's always that chip on. That,
oh yeah,
come on, you know.
Yeah, no love lost here between those two. Almost Georgetown, Syracuse,
right.
Not quite, but almost. And you know, there was no love lost. Hurley, a good coach. You know, he did a nice job. He knew we were a little short. He ball pressed the whole game. You know, coached a good game, and I like our team. Though I don't worry about this. And mainly because of the coach we have and the coaching staff that really can show these guys. I mean, some of our guys just shot so poorly. That's probably not going to happen, but it happens.
What do you think of Kevin? You know, what do you think of Kevin Ollie when he was there?
I didn't catch much of him. I mean, I don't know. You hear different things, so it's. You know, I don't really pay much attention to UConn, to be honest with you, other than the women's team whose butt I want to kick at some point with our women's team. You know, I want to take over this part of the country with our women's team. I really, really excited about what Quinton's building. I wish more people would come out and see these girls play because they are like the Golden State. They play very Golden State-like. The point guard, the guards are so athletic. They're sprinting. We've got two really big players. Yeah, screw UConn. I'm like, I have no love lost for that school and anything that's going on up there. Their football, all of it. We're New York's team. Today, I'm hoping we get a big win in a big situation. I feel like Yankee Stadium should be like the way the Garden is to basketball. Yankee Stadium should be for us. We should play a home game or a home and home with a ACC team like Notre Dame. Let's let this be our rivalry. Let's play every year at Yankee Stadium, Notre Dame. Mm. Love it. Mm.
Great idea.
Great day to day for alums.
Yeah, talk about it.
The whole city's been orange. It's been really legendary. I mean, so many former players are back this week in New York City. I mean, the city's filled with orange. It was great. The Garden was vibrant. It was alive. It was a shame that we didn't get the result, but today is a lot of hype on this game. Regardless of the score, I love the position that Dino has put us in. And that's what I get excited about as an alum. I think we have a great chance of beating this team. I've been watching very closely all season. But, you know, it's tough to, you know, beat a top team like Notre Dame. But I love the position. That's what you want as an alumni, as a fan. You want your team to be in position to play games like this. Meaningful football in November. You know, battling for ranking. You know, battling for a really good bowl game instead of just squeezing into a bowl game. Man. Good for Dino. I mean, what a great job he's done. And, you know, I'm always grateful because we know the alternative. We all got to tip our cap and show up for him because he's done an amazing job. He's done a great job, and I'm grateful. It's the same thing with, you know, with the two other coaches. I went to my son who went to Michigan. It's like, hey, we got three ranked teams. Right. Women, men. He says, well, so do we. The hockey team's number 17.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right. It's like, all right, got you there. But Michigan's, they beat up Villanova the other day. Man, I didn't see that coming.
It's great. I know.
Yeah, but it's fun. You know, the city is just all orange, and Yankee Stadium, you know, we've had a nice run there. You know, we've won a few games there, bowl games. This should be our little home court advantage. I'm hoping that John Wildhack figures out a way to do that for us. Mm. But good for Dino. And I like what we have coming. It's not like, you know, we don't have younger kids coming down to Syracuse to play. So it's exciting. I was just John Wallace, and there was so many Addison, and there was so many former alums at the Garden the other night. Oh, it was just a who's who for Syracuse.
So you must just walking around, shaking hands, doing your thing, saying hello to everybody.
There's just something about playing in the Garden. I love that Coach Bayham knows and makes sure that we get there. And it's for a kind of quiet, you don't really think of Bayham as a marketing kind of guy, but he does understand that part of the business. And I'm hoping that we can get that going with our football because the whole week, I mean, do you know how hard it is to get a ticket for this game?
I know.
The cheapest ticket, I mean, all the way up on the top, 400 level, is over $400. And still to this morning, and most of the seats, that's on the low side now. These seats have been selling for $700, $800, $1,000 a ticket. And a good seat is selling for $1,000 today. That's how hyped up this game is. I've had more calls. I've had to buy over 25 tickets myself at a premium. I mean, you have CEOs, all kinds of people want to get to the stadium today for this game. This is the biggest game Yankee Stadium has seen for football.
It's incredible.
And we're hyped up.
Well, don't you? I wanted to go
last night. My wife said, calm down. I was ready to go this morning. I woke my son. I was like, let's go.
There we go.
7 in the morning.
Well, Dungy, you know, there's a lot of talk about him in that quarterback position, his ability to run the game or run the ball, his ability to. He's just a tough quarterback, a strong quarterback. And that Syracuse is the understanding of how to wear you down.
Yeah.
And it should be a fascinating game. Notre Dame, undefeated, wants to stay obviously undefeated, a team that is incredibly talented, and a Notre Dame team that you haven't seen this good in a long time. This is a great matchup.
Good matchup. Two things have to happen today. You know, just talking to different players and coaches. We got one already. The weather needed to be decent. We didn't want to have really adverse, really bad weather because Notre Dame would be an advantage. They play in bad weather up there.
Oh, yeah.
They play in cold weather. And we have to stop their run. We can't have them running up and down the field, gobbling up a lot of clock, and then wearing our defense down. We need to stop their run today. If we could do that, not that I'm this football guru, but I saw a bunch of coaches and everything, so I was like trying to pry around. And I think we have a good chance to do that. I mean, we don't want to let them do a little bit what Pittsburgh kind of did to us.
Thank
you. So the weather's going our way. We're good. Listen, if you're still at Syracuse, you know, I'm sure you'll be watching on NBC today, and we got our boy Mike Tirico doing the game. So I told him definitely you need to call a bias game today. I know you work for NBC. Forget about the Notre Dame every this is a Syracuse game. You need to get us equal playing time here.
We want
to
sure Dick Vitale action here. Yeah, right. Dick Vitale, Duke action. None of that here with Syracuse football, Syracuse Notre Dame. Yeah, that's great. Yeah. That's hilarious.
Syracuse women tomorrow at the Dome. Sunday game.
I'm a big advocate of the women's team, and you've done a lot of time with Q and speaking with the kids there. And He's just done a great, great job.
Well, you have to realize how hard it is to coach women's basketball. It is hard because a lot of people haven't given it its full due. But he has 10 starters. And that's a very dangerous for the way Q likes to play, which is press and zone and trap. And
it's like old Georgetown. It's like an old Georgetown.
He's got 10 starters. Starters.
Pretty cool.
So very dynamic team and some young kids that are only going to get better. There's a kid, Emily, from New York City, who's big, who can rock, can play. You know, very... it depends if she kind of thins and kind of, you know, she's got to get stronger, but she's kind of got like a little Diana Taurasi, Larry Bird in her a little bit. Pass, post up. You know, she's young. She's just, you know, but she's a really, I mean, top recruit. Our point guard is lightning. I mean, just exactly the way Q likes to play. So I love this team, love the coaching staff. I think the thing that you have to keep an eye on is what Boeheim does great and is what Coach Hillsman does great is, got to keep the coaching staff together so you're all on the same page. When you think about it, he does a great job. I mean, you know, it's not a mystery who, but these are the ones that are in the trenches with these kids.
Yeah, I mean.
Both coaches keep their coaching staffs intact. I think it's critical.
There's no question. I mean, there's not even 1 ounce of doubt when you're with Coach Boeheim who's in control. There's not one doubt. Q, I haven't spent as much time around, and he's a great
guy. But it's the message, though. No question who's in control, and we know Bam has you know, exact way he likes to do things, but it's nice when you have the underlings underneath you following that exact tradition, which is art in management, which a lot of people don't realize. We have coaches coming, going. The message still gets a little cloudy till the assistants get it. I love the fact that both those coaches have had assistants for years and years and years, Jerry and Red and Tammy. I mean, it's amazing. You show me a great leader, great number one CEO, coach, show me their number one and two people.
All right. I love it. All right, Brandon Steiner. Hey, have fun, obviously,
today. I cannot believe you're not here, Mike. I got to be honest with you. You should have done this show remotely.
I know. Should have. Actually, I should be with you on the sidelines. That's what I should be doing.
I'm so fired up, man. I'm about to leave in a few minutes. I definitely don't want to hit any traffic.
Make sure you send me a couple picks, okay?
All right, will do.
All right,
have a great day.
Talk to you later.
Enjoy the day.
Thanks, Bill. Brandon Steiner, ladies and gentlemen, here on the program. And when we get back, Alan Griffin, we're going to talk Q, so we're going to see what's going on. We'll be right back.
This is John Wallace. You're listening to Mike Bristol's Syracuse Legends Show.
This is the McDonald's Syracuse Legends Show. Here's Mike Bristol.
All right, back on it. Our good friend, Mr. Alan Griffin. What's going on, Alan?
What's up, Mike? How's every day?
Oh, I'm doing well. How about yourself? Let's think about this. So, you look at... You know, you're now in your second season.
As a coach, I know the importance of having
with the SU staff here. Talk a little bit about, you know, joining the team and being with the guys and being back at your alma mater and stuff.
It's been great. It's again, it's been a dream come true for me. I always wanted to be coaching here, and obviously, I'm just living out my dream. So I wake up happy every day.
Yeah, I know, right? You're 4 games in. You know, there's plenty of work, you know, to do here. Is it as simple as getting Frank back on the court, or is it, you know, getting Pascal to be a little bit tougher and stronger? Is there some combination of things, shooting the ball better? You know, give me a scouting report on Syracuse right now.
You know what? I definitely, you know, having our floor general back was going to help us tremendously with Frank coming back, hopefully here soon. But, you know, everybody has to play better, from Tyus on down to, you know, our walk-ons on the team. We just got to do a better job. And it's not just the players. It's us as a staff, too. We got to do a better job at preparing these guys for, you know, the games and the practices. So, you know, we're all in this together. If we came out of there 2-0, you know, we'll be talking about, you know, hey, you know, we're doing a good job, but, you know, we got to say that, you know, now going 0-2 in New York. So we'll be okay. It's not the end of the world. It could be the best thing to happen to this group, too.
All right, shooting moves. Let's talk about it. Does that surprise you at all, or did you see this, you know, coming from some practices, things like that, but just haven't been shooting the ball very well?
Yeah, you know what? It's just one of those things. You know, Frank coming back will help You know, Frank finished the season at 37%. He's probably making close to 2 threes a game. So from that perspective, you know, adding him back to the fold, it'll be good for us in terms of, you know, our shooting. But again, you know, we in the games, you know, Ty's passed up on a couple shots that he would normally take and normally would make. So we just got to just go back out there and just feel, you know, confident that we can make those shots, and we'll be fine. We'll be fine.
You know, we've been introduced to Jalen and Elijah. Besides their offensive contributions, talk about, you know, their efforts so far and how you rate each of those players.
You know, Jalen bounced back, obviously, from a, you know, a bad start when, you know, when we played here at home last. Came to New York and he played really well, kept us in the game against Connecticut. And it was just, you know, good homecoming for him. I know he wanted to go 2-0 instead of 0-2. But, you know, again, Jalen got to, you know, be better at some things, and he will be, especially with, you know, a couple of days of practice before our next game against Colgate. So, you know, he played well down in New York. And Elijah, you know, he was careless at some points, you know, in terms of his turnovers. But, you know, I was happy for him to, you know, go out there and play as good as he could play. And I know he could play better. So, again, it's a work in progress. No one wants to peak right now, and, you know, in November, we got a lot of basketball ahead of us, and we'll be up for the challenge.
You know, given, I guess, you know, some of the things against UConn and Oregon, and Coach obviously likes that smaller rotation. You know, Frank comes back, I think things will tighten up a little bit. You know, right now, is there some exploring of some rotation or some roles or things like that?
You know, when you get Frank back, it allows everybody to kind of get back in a natural position.
Yeah.
You know, and then, you know, a lot of guys can kind of calm down and settle into what they do best. So, you know, you get Tyus a lot, you know, you get him off the ball and you get him in a situation where he can be a scorer and an attacker. And you know, Frank helps out with, you know, getting guys like Pascal and Barama the ball, because, you know, he does a really good job, if you remember him from last year, getting in the paint and throwing a little lob pass to those guys down there. So we just need Frank to get back, and obviously, you know, we can get our whole team back and practicing and kind of move forward from there.
You know, you look at, I guess, being with the two guys after those two games, you know, how would you characterize attitudes and, you know, focus, disappointment, thoughts, that kind of stuff when you look at, you know, Elijah and Jalen and those guys, just in terms of how they're handling everything?
Yeah, I think they're doing a good job. I think this was a humbling experience for a lot of people, including myself. You know, you kind of go into the season, you preseason ranked, and you just think that a lot of things are just going to be handed to you, you know, and what it does is it puts a big bullseye on your back. And you know, from myself on down, I think, you know, we went in there expecting that, you know, because we were the 15th ranked team in the country, teams are just going to lay down and just give us games, whereas to... No, they're coming at you, and they're coming at you with their best, and that's what happened. And, you know, we got punched in the face a little bit, which happens. And, you know, the thing that Coach said best in our meetings is that, you know, at the end of the day, be happy that it happened now and instead of January, February when we're in league play.
There's no question about that, and that makes so much sense. Hey, this is what you have to do. Tighten up your game. Work together. Now you got to win. You got to toughen up. It is. It's one of those things. Here's your learning opportunity. Now, don't let it happen again.
Right.
You know?
Exactly.
You know, you played.
I'm sorry, Mike. No one said that we were going to go undefeated anyway. You know
what
I mean?
Right. Yeah.
We're going to take some bumps.
You know, back in your playing day, you played a little combination, obviously playing point, playing some two, playing whatever it was, what you needed to play in order to play, really. You were going to do whatever it took to play. How does that attitude carry over to the guys today?
I think in today's game, everybody worries so much about the position, and instead of, you know, playing, you know, and that's just what today's, you know, the game. So, you know, at the end of the day, I think a lot of these guys take pride in the work that they put in, And that's just it. And they want to just play at the position that they want to play at, so to speak. I kind of don't get caught up in that. I try to get caught up in, you know, guys wanting to be out there regardless of position or not. Just go out there and play. You know, Merak, you know, he played some power forward. You know, coming over here, you know, a lot of his people were saying he was a small forward. You know, Merak has played two positions for us. You know, the four and the five. So, you know, he can just go out there and play, and I think he's very happy with his playing. So, you know, Merak is almost like a throwback, so to speak.
All right. You look at the outside expectations, and everybody says, oh, you got this career, the greatest. Everyone that's always asking me about recruits. Hey, Mike, I heard we got the greatest whatever. And I always, it's the same thing. It's like, unless it's Michael Jordan or LeBron James, you got to see what the kid's going to do in the court and actually during real game situations. You know what I mean? It's just silly. And everyone thinks, like, whoever you get is the greatest player. Oh, I heard we got so-and-so. We heard we got this guy. I heard we got that guy. And you're just like, listen, these are all kids. They're learning the game, too. They're growing. They're adjusting. There's all kinds of factors that play into it. And I think kind of like what you had mentioned, just, you know, learning the bumps early on is such a great thing. But that's kind of the case for just about every team. You know, you're going to have these ups and downs. And I remember talking with Coach and saying, you know, he was talking to me about coaching pros and coaching some of the college guys. And he said he could walk up to a guy like Kobe Bryant and say, hey, listen, change this one thing. That's if he even had to say it to Kobe, but for example, and he would, it was done. It was fixed and done one time. The college kids, if you guys are saying the same thing, like 10 times in a row, 12 times in a row.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, definitely. You know, like I work with the big guys and, you know, me and Pascal, you know, we have a great bond and, you know, it's one thing, you know, when he gets around the rim, I keep telling him to chin the ball when you get around there, especially in traffic, because, you know, little guys love big guys when they bring the ball down. Mm. And I've been saying that for 2 years. Sometimes it takes, you know, longer than expected for you these guys to kind of get it. And, you know, hopefully it'll click one day where it's needed the most. You know, we just got to keep coaching. That's what coaching is, especially at this level. You can't just give up because a kid is not registering with a kid. You gotta continue to just, you know, go at it. You know, one day it might be his last game of his career here. As long as he got it, you know, you've done your job in terms of your teaching aspect. So, you know, you just gotta keep going, and you know, that's just what it is, man.
Yeah. Tell me about Buddy. You know, rotation wise, and I know everyone's talking about coach's son. Tell me about how you feel Buddy's doing.
But he's doing good. I mean, he's a typical freshman, you know? Like, he's going to have his bumps and bruises just like every freshman across the country. You know, the thing about Buddy is that, you know, he's, you know, going out there with confidence, and he's taking his shots, and he's getting a couple opportunities where, you know what, once he kind of settle in and get himself, you know, settled down a little bit, he's going to make those shots. So I don't see nothing wrong with Buddy. Buddy's going to be fine. Buddy does be here just like every, you know, guy that got here.
Yeah.
He works hard, and he's, you know, a good talent. So he'll be fine.
All right, what's up today? What are you guys doing?
Football game, man.
Yeah.
Big game today.
Yeah.
Big game. The Irish is going down.
Yeah.
That's
right.
You heard it from me first. The Irish is going down.
Getting their first loss of the season.
I'm so excited, Mike. The thing that's going to salvage us and our past showing in New York is that the football team going to go in New York Yankee Stadium and get a big W.
I love it. You're right. We need it.
All right, man.
All right. Great catching up with you, Al. See you when you get back in town.
All right, definitely.
All right, my good friend Alan Griffin. Thanks, Alan. Good buddy Alan Griffin here on the program. And we get back, Adrian Autry, going to catch up with Red, and then we're going to talk to Roosevelt Bowie as well. So we've got about 30 minutes left here. And this is, of course, the Aflac Insurance Syracuse Legend Show, broadcasting here in the ESPN studios and presented by SummitCars.com. We'll be right back.
This is John Wallace. You're listening to Mike Bristol's Syracuse Legend Show.
This is the McDonald's Syracuse Legend Show. Here's Mike Bristol.
All right, back on it. And our good friend, Mr. Adrian Autry. What's up, Red? What's happening?
Nothing much, man. Just trying to get better, man. That's about it.
Getting better. Let's talk about. Well, let's go to Syracuse football right off the bat. I know you guys all get to go to a Yankee Stadium and watch Cuse take down Notre Dame. Excited about that?
You know what? Unfortunately, I don't get a chance to go watch them back in Syracuse. Obviously, trying to figure some things out on the basketball team, but I'll definitely be tuned in at 2 o'clock. Watching those guys, right. Supporting those guys, and rooting for them. But I'm super excited for those guys. You know, the coaching staff has done a great job. They've really persevered. They've gotten better each year, and I'm just happy to see the success. And you know, Syracuse. You know, I'm an alum, so I bleed orange. So I'm super excited for those guys.
Tell me about. Let's get right to it. So Frank gets back in the rotation. Different team. Got your point guard back.
Yeah, I think, he's a big part of what we've done last year and this year and his program. He's a four-year starter. If it wasn't for the breakout year that Luke May had, you know, Frank probably been the most improved player last year with the jump that he made. He's a part of our team. He's another person that can, you know, come in and help us and keep us together in the leadership part. So, you know, it's a lot, you know, and I think it also gives us a chance to get everybody back into their natural positions and kind of keep moving forward.
You know, you look at, I guess given some of the struggles or what's been happening, I guess, on the offensive end, shooting and this and that. So, and I know Coach is, I was talking with Allen and Coach basically saying, listen, get it out now and go through these woes and these downs or ups and downs or whatever it is right now. But this isn't going to happen, you know, midway through the ACC. So, you know, I guess talk about UConn, talk about Oregon.
Well, UConn, you know, they came out, I mean, they were impressive. We didn't play great. We haven't played great, and we still hung around with a positive to try to take out of it. Is that, you know, we're not playing well, you know, besides Oregon, the UConn game, you know, we hung in there. We had a chance. We had a couple of, times to make a run, but we didn't. You got to give them credit. They did what they came and executed that game plan, and they shot lights out. I mean, they made shots as you see the next game. They didn't shoot it as well. They shot kind of back to normal. But those games happen. You know, you have those games. You know, you face by, two or three of those a year, with teams. You know, you just never know. And we'll be on the other end of that as well, where we'll probably play, a near-perfect game, so to speak. And then Oregon, I thought we had a chance to jump out on those guys early. We really got good shots. They didn't fall. That's part of the game. After that, once they got going, you're pushing and they kind of kept responding and answering and, Bobo, was arguably, top pick in the draft. I can see that pass it, rebound it. He really played well. We had some difficulty trying to slow him down. So, that's how I summarize those two games. We just got to get back to work and continue to get better.
What have you worked on? Talk about Brissett. Let's talk about, the guys here and who needs to do what. So individually, what are you saying to each guy, pulling certain guys aside, getting in their face a little bit? What specifically are you telling certain guys?
Well, I think the biggest thing right now is it's not about what does O'Shea Brissett needs to do better or Tyus Ballard needs to be better. It's about what we need to do better.
Yeah.
And I think that's the biggest thing, is we. All guys are competitors and challengers, and they know when they play bad. Everybody lets them know. Newspapers, coaches, everybody lets them know. They know when they play bad, but I think they can't get so focused on what they need to do instead of what we need to do. And I think that'll alleviate some of their own pressures and expectations that they put on themselves.
I look at, you start walking around and you start thinking about certain things, or look at team stuff. Slightly, I guess, related here, you look at the aggressiveness of this team. Were we lacking that presence, that aggressiveness, especially that we've always been known for, especially in the Garden?
Well, when things are not going your way, sometimes, you kind of lose that aggressiveness.
Yeah.
And these guys, it just wasn't a good 2 days, for our guys, for our team. So you're going to lose some of that, I'm sure, going forward. That will not be an issue or problem. I think, we got some tough challenges. And, you know, these guys got to respond, and we got to respond. Again, we have, you know, Elijah Hughes is playing a bulk of the minutes. This is his first year playing, and I'm not making an excuse. It's just, you know, it kind of is what it is. And, you know, Tyus is playing a different position. You know, Jalen is a freshman. So we relied on a couple of guys, you know, that's, you know, in that type of setting, in that type of environment to be a little different. And, you know, we struggled a little bit.
You look at Duke, North Carolina, or Duke, yeah, Carolina, Florida State, Virginia Tech. When you scan the ACC, you know, is it as deep and dangerous as it's ever been?
Well, you know what? Yes. You know, it is. You could tell by all the preseason accolades and the rankings and all that thing. It's a lot of, you know, this league is expected to be really, really tough, and it's expected every year, in and out. It doesn't matter what the rankings are. It's the best basketball league in the country, you know, hands down, in my opinion. So, you know, but the biggest thing is you got to put blinders on, and you can't look over here, look over there. You got to worry about ourselves, and I think that's the main thing. We have to worry about ourselves, continue to worry about ourselves, and get better. But this league is no doubt, from top to bottom, you know, the toughest basketball league in the country, in my opinion.
In some ways, I guess, will it help to have some early, you know, setbacks and not have that role of favorite, you know, other teams, you know, might face, and kind of go into it, work, and then all of a sudden hopefully peak.
Well, you know what? I would love to think that we're going to go undefeated this year.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah.
You know, that's pretty
I'm
hard.
With you.
But you know, the biggest thing is how you bounce back from this and get ourselves going again. Missing Frank Howard right now. Whether we have Frank or not, I don't know if that would have changed the outcome. But you know, just having your whole team, you know, hold and everybody pulling together, you know, it helps. So now you get him back into the mix, and he has to catch up to speed as far as his conditioning and things like that. So, you know, we still not at whole. You know, we still not the team. You know, it's still not a team yet as far as having all components and everybody working together on a day in and day out basis. So, you know, it's a little different from that, but you know, we just got to keep going and move in the right direction, which I know we will. I'm sure we will. And everything will be okay.
You know, kind of a final question here. And looking overall at, you know, what you've done at Syracuse and accomplished and being the standout recruiter and guy there at Syracuse, Brandon Stein and I were talking. And Brandon said, you know these great head coaches because they're the head coaches. There's no question that a great head coach, there's not one person there within their, on their staff that is at all stepping over that role of head coach. Yet, a great head coach allows the other coaches, et cetera, to add their influence and do what they need to do during practice and stuff. I think coach is like masterful when it comes to, there's no question, if you're an in-game, he's the guy, okay? When you're at practice, all of you guys have your parts and your roles and your thing and this and that, and then he steps in when necessary. Talk about that balance he's able to instill.
Well, you know, coach is, he's like you say, he's a Hall of Famer. He's been around. And I think at the end of the day, like all good coaches and, you know, great coaches, you know, they have their staff. They believe in their staff. And they let their staffs, you know, they kind of create that, you know, their roles for their staff. And again, an influence and having a say. And, you know, he's very good at that. He leads us, and we know how to coach our guys, you know, to his expectations, you know, and understanding what he is expecting out of them from that position, that role. And he lets us, you know, and the time to do that is in practice, is, you know, individually with these guys. So, you know, we're very appreciative of that, you know, but also being able to work as one. That's the main thing. So, you know, when we're in the games, you know, when he's saying something and I can relay that to them because, you know, it's been relayed during practice. So I'm just kind of honing back on that myself, Jerry Mack or Alan Griffin. So coaches, you know, that's the one thing, you know, that makes him a great coach is that, you know, we all kind of have a say, but he ultimately, once you get into game time, you know, that all kind of comes together as one. And now he did his job.
Yeah. All right. The great Adrian Autry. You guys, when are you guys getting home?
Oh, I'm home already, man.
Oh, good. You guys flew in last night?
Yeah, got back last night.
Okay. Because I know Coach stayed down there. I know Julie did. I think Alan did. I think a few people stayed down and a few flew back. So that's good. All right, Al. I'll talk to you later, pal.
Okay, take care.
All right, Alan Griffin, ladies and gentlemen, here on the program. Great to have him on. Roosevelt Bowie on deck. We're going to try to get him on, and Lawrence Moten if we got time. May or may not. So we'll be right back. This is obviously Aflac Insurance, Syracuse Legends Show, and it's presented by SummitCars.com.
This is Syracuse Legends with Mike Bristol and Scoop Jardine.
All right, here we are. So what is going on? We've got Mr. Roosevelt Bowie. What's up, Boo?
What's up, Mike? How you doing?
How you been? What's new and exciting?
New and exciting. Syracuse basketball, loving it. Hey, they got to get there. You know, they got a few things to iron out, but pretty soon they'll have their full team on the floor, work through their chemistry, and we'll see some good basketball.
You know, you look at four games are in the books. You know, if you ran college hoops, what would be the ideal times for the season to start? You know, I mean, what do you think? You like it starts this early? You think it should start later? What do you think?
Being that I used to have to just sit on my hands and wait for basketball season to start while everybody else and Kendall played soccer and I worked out in the gym by myself, I couldn't start early enough. So I'm the wrong guy to ask that. I think that no matter when it starts, you need time to play, you need time to learn one another, and you need the team to be complete in order to get a read on what's going on.
You know, when you see the FBI case, and I wanted to ask you this and the other controversies, and being an intelligent guy who looks at basketball in general and everything, but you know, what do you think is the best way to clean up these problems? Like, how do you actually clean this stuff up?
Well, you got to give me more of an idea of what you want to clean up. I got to be, just so I can be precise.
Well, I just think, like, when you're looking at recruiting kids and all this stuff that's done, and how other people are going about doing things, and you see these kids that are signed to sneaker deals when you know they're getting a scholarship in college, and all the NCAA rules and all this nonsense. I mean, I just don't. You got to clean up the game, but how do you clean up the game? You know, with some of these schools and what some of these, you know, you had a kid that you know is a one and doneer, and you're offering him X amount of dollars, and the kid, it's just crazy what we've seen with like Adidas and what we've seen out here.
Well, you know what? When you start offering those sums of money, you know, you almost got to have an outside entity, figure out what's going on and legislate what's going on there. Because one thing for sure is quite obvious. I do believe that the NCAA might be a tad bit biased.
Yeah, right.
So just as long as they establish a baseline and follow that baseline, but, you know, right now, it's pretty much anarchy.
Yeah, right.
But, you know, except for when they deal with Syracuse gets the stiffest penalty out of everything. So the good news is they're not talking about us.
Yeah, I know. You know, we see teams like Maui, Bahamas, other nice and warm locals and locations, all that kind of good stuff. We've seen teams push for recruiting using this and using that. When you were getting recruited, was there any particular team that came after you a lot more aggressive than, you know, what Syracuse did?
Actually, it did. I was, I wish I could tell you it was a long time ago, but it scared me so bad I just totally ignored them. There was one school that offered me $6,000 a sign, $6,000 a month, and $5,000 a month for my parents.
Wow.
And that just scared the crap out of me because my mother told me that she wanted me to go to school to get an education. And when I saw that as it was a risk because you knew it was illegal. Yeah. If you got caught, you lost your scholarship. And then I had to go home and face that little 5'3", 125-pound tornado. So it didn't even cross my mind. I was just like, I just looked at him. I don't think I'm better than I. And I was like, well, very nice, you know, polite as I was taught. And if I could have ran out of there, I would have ran out.
You know, what's interesting, Rose, is in those situations, the parents or a mother or father or the coach or whomever it is probably there listening to some of this and probably has their hand out or the parents are who maybe don't have much or looking at a situation like that as this could be good. You know, think about the values that were instilled in you at that point to realize no and get out of there, you know, but where, geez, you wonder the percentage of people that would say, actually, let's make it this a little bit more, and you got a deal.
You know what? The crazy thing is, they always told me that character is what you have when nobody's looking. There's no way that I could pretend that was right, because I knew it was wrong. The thing about my mom did that I thought was kind of unnerving was she never. I got letters from 90 schools, scholarship offers. And she would sit down at the table, she'd listen, and then they would ask her a bunch of questions, and she would look at them and say, "You don't have to convince me, you have to convince him." And then they would turn their attention to me, and I always wondered why my mother never said more than it. As it worked out, I ended up coming to Syracuse. Once I signed my letter of intent and I came to Syracuse, I looked at my mother and I said, "Mom, why, how come you never, you know, you've always had a pretty strong opinion about a lot of things. How come you never weighed in on what I was trying to do?" And she said, "You don't understand. I've already won. My goal was to get you into college to work on your degree. And here I have 90 schools from across the United States coming here trying to get you signed up. I've already won." She said, "Now the only thing I have to do is," she said, "the reason I didn't help you was I wanted you to pick the school because you're so hard-headed. Even if you hated it, you stay there and you finish because you picked it." And I just sat there and I smiled and I said, "You're absolutely right." But I went to Syracuse. I loved it. And I went from being an athlete to a Syracuse graduate. And now I'm a huge fan of Syracuse. And I always talk to John Wallace about this. John Wallace did it the other way around. He was a kid. He was a fan of Syracuse. And then he became an all-star at Syracuse. And he's just a load to sit down and talk to if you want to get a
good perspective about
Syracuse.
Yeah, John's a blast. All right, what's up today? What do you got going on?
Well, today I got a couple woodworking projects that I'm working on. But one thing I wanted to let everybody know about is this year, after every home game, we'll be at the Craftsman Inn and Suites out in Fayetteville, New York, after every home game. And Dale Shackelford and I will be doing Orange and Peter right there on site.
That's
Come
great.
Come out, join us, talk to us.
Yeah, and we'll promote that, or I'll talk about it each week with you and kind of have you on quick, and we'll promote that up for you a little bit.
Yeah, it'll be a lot of fun because, as you know, Dale and I have a unique outlook on Syracuse basketball. We always look at it from the player's point of view. That's why you'll never hear us get all bent out of shape when things aren't working perfectly, because, be quite honest with you, I'd be a little scared if Syracuse was clicking on all 10 cylinders right now, because it's a long season and there's always a drop off in February. You want your team to be building and getting better and getting to know one another and be confident.
No question.
So I'm enjoying what I'm seeing.
All right. The great Roosevelt Bowie. Thanks, Boo. We'll talk to you soon. We'll definitely promote that for you, pal.
My pleasure. Take care now, Mike.
Thanks, Boo. All right, Roosevelt Bowie here. And ladies and gentlemen, this is it. We're going to wrap things up. This is the Aflac Insurance Syracuse Legends Show, and broadcasting on the ESPN studios. And special thanks to our presenting sponsor, SummitCars.com. We'll see you not next week, but the following week, as we got Thanksgiving. Have a good one.